when it comes to the three angels' messages, the question was, to which one of the two tables are the three angels' messages referring to? Now, Martin, this is interesting. And I think it's a very, very important question. The three angels' messages, I think we should go there. I mean, we've been there so often, let's go there again. It's in Revelation chapter 14. The three angels' messages start in verse 6 of chapter 14. And if you have one of those Bibles with the bold face to tell you where the beginning of a paragraph is, you will see that verse 6 is highlighted. And it says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people." Now, the gospel is, of course, the gospel of salvation. That's the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it is an everlasting gospel. It's one that cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. It has to be the same from the time of Adam to the last person on earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So how was Adam saved, according to this gospel? By the blood of the Lamb. How was he clothed? Because he was naked.
With Christ's righteousness.
He wore the coat of the Lamb, which represented Christ and his righteousness. So Adam and Eve were saved by the righteousness of Christ. Were they excluded from the garden because of transgression of the law?
Yes.
So was there a law?
Definitely.
There had to be a law, right? Or else they couldn't have been excluded. Okay. So this gospel has never changed. Has Rome changed the gospel?
Yes.
Completely. Mm-hmm. Even removed the atonement, right? And changed the day of worship. Changed the entire law of God. Mm-hmm. Abbreviated where they thought it essential to abbreviate it so that they could retain the power rather than God, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that their lackeys are doing the same thing. The 10th commandment, for example, says that you may not covet your neighbor's goods, which implies that the neighbor has goods.
Yes.
But the economic forum, the World Economic Forum, says you will own nothing and be happy.
Exactly. So it's a directly opposing the 10th commandment.
It's opposing the 10th commandment. So can you happily go along with the ideologies of the World Economic Forum?
No.
No matter how many Schwabs there are, you cannot go along with it.
Yeah. And if you take this, that all these laws, that they, or this great reset, everything that's happening, I think we are trying to show as well to people that they are implementing it.
All right. Okay, so there's an everlasting gospel. It has never been changed. The law has always been linked to the plan of salvation. In fact, there would be no need of a plan of salvation if there were no law. Because without a law, there's no transgression. If there's no transgression, there's no condemnation. Without condemnation, you don't need a savior.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very logical.
So if there is a savior and if he died, then it means that the law could not be compromised and the price for the transgression had to be paid. That doesn't get rid of the law.
No.
It just pays the price for the transgression of the law. And you can appropriate the righteousness of Christ. And that is your only means of salvation. If you remove that from the equation like Rome has done, you have destroyed the everlasting gospel. And whatever morsel of it that you swallow makes you a transgressor together with Rome. Mm. So if you take part in a universal Eucharistic celebration, you are eating idolatry.
That is precisely what happens.
Okay. So there's an everlasting gospel and the issue has to be set straight by the first angel's message. And it has to be preached to everyone on earth and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. That means even those that are governed by other religious forms have to hear this message, whether they like it or not.
That's it.
Whether they accept or forbear, that's not your problem. You have to preach it. Now, what does this angel say? He says with a loud voice, fear God. Martin, if you say fear God and give glory to him, then which commandments are entailed in that?
Well, okay, actually the first four.
Okay, all right. So you will have no other gods beside him. You will certainly not practice idolatry. You won't take part in a universal Eucharistic celebration, for example. Moreover, you will not use his name in vain. And because he said you must keep the Sabbath, you will keep the Sabbath, right? Then it says, for the hour of his judgment has come. Now, judgment obviously needs a standard of judgment.
Yes.
What is that?
The law.
The law. And we've just discussed the law, all right? But together with the law, there was a pot of manna and there was Aaron's rod that blossomed and bore fruit, right? So it refers to the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So this is a highly Christocentric religion. For the hour of his judgment has come. There's a standard of judgment, which is the law. Therefore, worship him that made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. In which commandment do we find that statement?
The fourth commandment.
Okay. So only in the fourth commandment do you read the statement, heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of water. It's in the commandment of authority. Whose authority do you accept?
Exactly.
So the first angel's messages embraces all four on the first table of stone. There's nothing about the other six.
No.
This is about, the key word there is worship. In other words, who do you acknowledge as your God? Now, if your God says to you, I have a sign, and that is the Sabbath. Mm. Did he say it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever?
Yes, he did.
All right. Here's my sign that you acknowledge that I am the Lord that sanctifies you. Mm. Ezekiel says that,
yes.
Right? I am the Lord that sanctifies you. Then keep the Sabbath. Verily my Sabbaths you shall keep. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're acknowledging him that he is your creator and that he is your redeemer because he's going to sanctify you. And another power comes and says, he's not your redeemer. We don't believe in the atonement. Jesus never died for you. He died because he was obedient, but he didn't die for you. You have to stand for your own sins.
Mm.
And we will provide the means for your sanctification. We will give you sacraments. And we, if you fall short, will give from our treasury of merit towards you. You are saved by our actions. And I want you to acknowledge it by accepting my mark, my sign of authority, Sunday. Well, now you have two authorities to listen to. Which one are you going to accept?
The one that you choose to accept is going to determine that statement that we read about what's going to happen to you when you meet God.
Okay. So if I acknowledge God's ownership of me through creation and redemption. And he says to me, the sign that you have done this is the Sabbath. And the Pope says, no, 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 you're not saved this way, you're saved this way. I have another gospel for you. And the sign that you acknowledge my authority, because Rome says that the keeping of Sunday by the Protestant is an acknowledgement of the authority of Rome in spite of their teacher, the Bible.
Which they actually are correct in. in stating that.
Yes, they are correct in that, but it is arrogance of the highest order. Therefore, my decision is I will not obey the authority because it has to do with worship. So the issue of the first angel's message is worship. And it's only in the first four commandments and specifically the fourth. Let's continue. Again, it is bold face. It is another paragraph. It stands by itself, the second angel's message, because verse 9 is again bold face. In other words, it again a standalone paragraph, and it's a little bit longer. But verse 8, second angel's message, and they followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The sad point is that in this issue of worship, the churches would rather follow the dictates of Rome because on her forehead is written Babylon, the mother of harlots. Now, she's the mother, but she has children, and they are also harlots. In other words, they have transgressed and gone the way of apostasy. They have followed the mother rather than their teacher, which happens to be the Bible, right? So the second angel's message has to do with worship because Babylon, the mother of harlots, has made them drink of the false wine, the false gospel of salvation, and has induced a mindset in them that they would rather follow her than their preferred teacher, the Bible. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if it's an issue of worship, this is just an antithesis to the first one. The first one says how it should be done. The second one says Babylon refuses to do it.
Yeah. And it also made other nations or other people drink of that same apostasy, not worshiping.
Okay, so she doesn't want to sin by herself. She induces sin in all the others. And anybody who sits at her table imbibing this wine, in whatever shape or form it comes, and if it is even obliquely geared towards making her mark of authority prominent, like climate change issues, for example, then you are partaking of this wine.
Yeah.
It's deceptive wine, but it has to do with worship.
Definitely.
The first one, the everlasting gospel, worship him who made, they're saying, no, follow our dictates. Then comes the third one. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, stop right there.
Worship.
Who is the beast? Catholicism.
Yeah.
The reformers made it quite clear because all the attributes of the beast are listed in Revelation chapter 13 and they are identical to the attributes of Daniel chapter 7's little horn. And that is the papacy because no other organization fits all those criteria. Okay? So again, the issue, if any man worship the beast, worship God, said the first angel. Worship God. It's an issue of worship. First table or second table?
First table.
First table. So are you meaning to tell me, Martin, that the entire three angels' message relate to the first table of the law?
Exactly. That's 100% what the entails.
Okay. So you worship the beast if you worship Catholicism or if you worship his image. Now we read about the image in Revelation chapter 13 because Protestant America sets up an image. An image looks like the original. The original was church and state together. Now there's a movement in the United States to amend the Constitution so that the issue of the separation of church and state becomes clear that that is not the intent, according to them, of the founding fathers. All right? So they want to change the issue so that they can become like the first beast that controlled the state. So church and state coming together and the church controlling the state, yielding the spiritual sword, which Rome claims, in order to enact legislation that favors the first beast.
And like we've shown, the danger in this is that most of it will be godly, and those legislations, we will agree with it.
In many cases, we will agree with them. But can you legislate morality?
No, because then you're back at the where's the free choice.
All right. Now, here's another question. Even if you do legislate, you might alter behavior, but you can never change the heart. So coercion in any form doesn't change the heart. Yeah. So we had this discussion before. If you are inclined to sin and there is legislation against that particular sin, then it means that you will just do it in darkness.
Exactly. In your mind even.
All right. So when they prohibited in the past the selling of alcohol in the United States, which business flourished the most?
The moonshine.
The moonshine business. So you cannot legislate morality. But if you change the heart,
and that's
worship
what,
God.
That's it. That's
and give glory to Him.
So it comes back to why the first four commandments, the first table. Because if that relationship is right, the others, that morality will follow in the last six.
It'll come right, but it'll not only come right in action, it'll come right in the heart.
In the heart. So your mind will also be fit for it.
Babylon can never achieve what the gospel achieves. Babylon can only change behavior. It cannot change the heart. So the third angel's message, he follows and he says with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, if any man obeys Catholicism, because the Bible says, he whom you obey, his servant you have become. Mm-hmm. Catholicism and then the image of the beast, Protestantism doing the bidding of Rome and becoming like it, an oppressive power to legislate morality. And receive his mark. Now, he has told us what his mark is. Sunday is my mark of authority, he has said. Why does Protestantism deny it?
I don't know. Because I think that part is still they're drunk with
Babylonian wine.
Yeah.
And if they choose to remain drunk, it is because they do not want to change. Mm. They are complacent. And where is this mark received? Either in your cognitive capacity, you actually convinced that Rome is right.
Mm-hmm.
Or in your hand, you are a conformist and are doing as you are told to stay out of trouble.
That's it. So I don't think they're right in this. I actually think that
but I don't want to go to jail, so I'll do it.
Yeah, so I'll do it.
Okay. So cognitively, you are convinced by this mark of the beast, or in your behavior, you are modified to conform to the mark of the beast. In both cases, you are condemned.
Yeah.
The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. So God talks about a time when he will press the wine press and it will come up to the girdle of the horse that he is riding. He's going to press the wine press alone. And the wrath of God is going to be poured out on the transgressors of his law and on those that divert worship away from the real way to the false way.
Yeah.
And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lord. That is the fire that comes down from heaven, the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Now, some people think that the torment will go on forever and ever, but we have such clear statements that say they will consume into smoke. They will be as though they never were.
It's the consequences.
But here's an interesting little word in this verse, that they have no rest. Now, which commandment is associated with rest, Martin?
The fourth commandment.
It comes back to it all the time, right? It's the commandment of rest. And Hebrews says that you will not enter into the rest if you enter in by your own works. You have to go in by the righteousness of Christ. Now, Babylon, can it rest?
No.
It cannot rest because it enters by its own works.
It's like we've mentioned in the previous one. They've taken out the commandments and they've even changed one for themselves.
Yes.
But that relationship, that covering mercy seat is gone if you.
So how many indications do we have in these few verses of the relevance of the Sabbath?
Every one.
It's there, right?
You cannot.
It's the issue. Why is it so important?
Because it's the showing the authority of God. It shines brighter than the others.
That's right. And if you acknowledge his authority, then you are also inclined to worship him according to his dictates, because otherwise you wouldn't acknowledge his authority. It's as simple as that.
It all falls into sequence. If you do this, this will happen, and so forth.
So who doesn't find rest, day nor night? Those who worship the beast, in other words, obey the dictates of Catholicism, his image, fallen Protestantism, united with the secular world to enforce the doctrines of whom? The first beast. Mm-hmm. Martin, do we see that in the United States of America?
You know what the problem is? You can actually see it on both sides of the political spectrum.
Okay. Now, the politicians that are trying to enforce this change in the Constitution that even stood for president in the past, the ones that said that they want to throw up when they listen to Kennedy's speech. So many years ago, 2012, I had a lecture where I showed Rick Santorum, who said that he wanted to throw up when he listened to Kennedy's speech on the separation of church and state. Mm. And it just showed how zealous they were to bring about the union of church and state. Mm. And if I remember correctly in that lecture, I stated that he was a member of Opus Dei.
Okay.
Now, Opus Dei is a group of people that remind themselves of their obligation to Rome by wearing restrictive bands that will create pain on occasion. But be that as it may, there is this move to enforce papal views because look at the morality in the world. Mm. It's gone down the tubes. We need the church. And Protestant America is going to reach across the Gulf and grab the hand of Rome, and they will enforce their legislation. And one of them here has to do with the commandment of rest. Mm-hmm. Do not accept the mark of the beast, and Rome has identified its mark. So here is the patience of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It is quite clear that the entire three angels' message deal with worship.
Exactly.
Now, the second table, is there any worship in it? Can you worship your father and your mother?
No, not at all.
You can honor them.
Yes.
But you cannot worship them. You will worship the Lord your God alone. Mm-hmm. Worship is part of the first table. So why will humanity eventually be largely rejected?
Because they did not keep or love or worship the Lord according to the first table.
In other words, they didn't keep the first great commandment.
Yeah.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. So the first great commandment, as we discussed it last time, is the issue of Revelation chapter 14. It is the final call to worship. Because if you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven, you better make sure you have the right God.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
That's 100% the thing.
And which one is that? It's the one that created you.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the one that redeemed you, right? I'm your redeemer. That's why there's a pot of manna. That's why there's a staff of Aaron that budded in that Ark of the Covenant. That is why there are two tables. The one shines brighter than the other, and the fourth commandment, which is the commandment of authority, shines more than any of them. And if you violate it, you are violating the very precepts of which God you are honoring and worshiping. And you cannot go to heaven to spend eternity with someone that you have directly through your action rejected here on earth. Simple as that. Therefore, you will be eternally lost if you do not do that. So, to which one of the two tables are the three angels' messages referring to?
The first table.
The first table.